That was a lovely meal. The men did such a good job. I was just wondering if the ladies might have a few other slots during the year for them to be able to take. I'm just thinking out loud. I am so glad to have been here this session right here. Brother Mann, that's just wonderful what you just did. Those minds are young enough that they're going to remember for the rest of their lives. That's going to stay within their hearts. And that is a tremendous amount of knowledge that you boys and girls said. I mean, it's amazing. And I just think that's just wonderful what you're doing. I'm not going to be long. We've had a lovely lunch. We've had a great time of worship this morning. We've celebrated the victory we have in Jesus Christ through taking of the communion. And so let me close with a few thoughts you can take with you. I don't know if it's your favorite psalm, but the Lord is my shepherd. Meaning what? Meaning I'm not in charge anymore. Meaning that I've given up my principality for the kingdom of God. There are those in our world that would want us to believe that all we are is a bunch of atoms, and that when the sun shines at a certain direction, it causes us to react, or if the wind blows, it causes action. And yet this evening or this afternoon, if I had to ask you a question and you knew the answer, and I would instruct you by saying, don't give me a verbal response, just put up your hand. Some of you would probably put, and maybe most of you put up your right hand, some your left, which indicated that you made a choice. And if you made a choice, then that means you have a spirit. And if you have a spirit, it means that there is a designer, a creator behind that. The Lord is my shepherd. He goes on to say that he makes me to lie down in green pastures and he leads me beside still waters. What causes a sheep to lay down? Two factors. You have to have no fear. You have to feel safe. And you've got to have a full belly. And then you'll lay down. Leads me beside still waters. Let me tell you, that's right now in Southern Africa, that's an impossibility. To see sheep or people walk by still waters, there's such a lack of water that if there's a pool, man, people and animals are running to it to go get a drink or whatever. Get buckets of water to go take back to the village. But there is, what kind of peace do you have to walk by water and not cause any ripples? I mean, you stay away from it because you are so satisfied. In the book of Ephesians, it opens up, and one of the things that is said there is that all spiritual blessings are given to us. And he goes on to expound on how we are adopted. That word has always been special to me since I was about 12 years old, 11 years old. Because my mother and father came from two large families. My mother had 10 children, 10 brothers and sisters. My father, 12 brothers and sisters, or 11 brothers and sisters, 12 total children. So when they got married, they only had two. They said they weren't going to have their children having four or five to a bed, you know, maybe so. But when I was 11, there was a family whose parents had died, and there was five children. And so different members of the church couldn't, in order to maybe keep the children together somewhat, decided that we would adopt all of them. And so different families adopted one or two children. And Wally came into our home. And I can still remember, first of all, the home that he came out of, if you could call it a home. Mom and Dad both died, but they died of alcohol poisoning. So they were alcoholics and they were drunkards, and it was a dog-eat-dog type of family. You know, you just grab whatever you can because there's not much there. And I remember when Wally came into our family that we were given candy. And so my sister had a bag and I was given a bag, and then Wally was given a bag, and Wally hid his immediately. You know, we just left ours on our chest of drawers, you know, we wouldn't bother. But boy, he hid his. But in time, things started to change because he noticed that if my sister needed a pair of shoes, a new pair of shoes to go to school, she would get a new pair. And if I needed it, I would get it. But Wally, if he needed pairs of shoes, he would also get it. And when it was time for me to go to university, my dad sent me, and I'm glad he was in a financial position to do that. But when it was Wally's turn, who was between my sister and I, came, my dad sent him to Harding too. And then he came to realize that he was truly part of the family. Truly part of the family. Truly adopted. We can walk beside still waters, and we can lay down in green pastures, because we know that we are fully fledged children of God, and everything that He has to give us, we will get because we are His children. The Lord is my shepherd. One other verse here. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Fear no evil? Let me tell you, there's a lot of things that's part of the human condition. There's been announcements made here today of people that are battling, maybe physically because of disease, or lost a loved one, or maybe... But that's true of all of us, isn't it, as we go through life. There are different challenges that come our way. But to go through life without fear for the rest of the days of my life, I will dwell in the house of the Lord, listen to this, forever. Now, my father is about to be 94 in July, and my mother turns 90 this month. And they are active people. They are truly blessed. I can sit down with my mom and dad, and I can interact with them. I can talk about, my dad and I will open up the Bible, and we'll talk about, we'll get into theology. His mind is still so sharp. And physically, they still go. My dad will drive 5 hours to Atlanta to go visit my sister if she can't come see them. But what I'm saying, they are in a place that I probably will never be. You know, but if my dad lives to be 100, compared to eternity, it's still zero. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And the great temptation of our nation is that some people succumb to it, and that is they work 50, 60, 70 years only for the last, they are hoping, 20 or 15, and they never look up. And that is no vision at all, because I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then he closes out, well, at least in my thoughts here, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. What do you do with a table? You've got this table that's laden, and there's your enemies. Well, Jesus said in Matthew 5, you know, love your enemies, and do, you know. In Proverbs 25:21, the writer of Proverbs says about, you know, if your enemy is hungry, give him something to eat. And if your enemy is thirsty, give him something to drink. Because that's what we do, isn't it? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I just want you to know, when I read that, the thought that came to my mind is that's about giving, and that's about sharing, and that's what the body of Christ is all about. And we do all the good that we possibly can do. And part of the good is sharing His word without compromise, but in a loving manner. But the other is also coupled with the good works that we can do in community, with individual families, whatever. Because that's who we are, because that's who our Savior was. The Lord is my shepherd. We can pray for you in any way. We have a song that we're probably going to sing, and we want to invite you to come as we stand and sing.